Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I pray that you've all been well. And it's always such a blessing and a privilege to be here this morning to share God's word with you. Today, please turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. That's James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. And it reads, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we confess that life changes constantly. Circumstances change, people change, seasons change, yet you remain faithful. And as we come to your word this morning, just quieten our hearts, open up our ears to hear your voice, and give us understanding. We ask that you receive, not only just receive your word, but prepare us for whatever lies ahead, knowing that you're already there. In Jesus' name, amen. If I had to have a heading for today's message, it would be, "When Life Changes." When life changes. Over the last few weeks, we have traveled through scripture looking at people who have experienced enormous change. We began with Noah, a man who lived through the greatest natural disaster the world has ever known. The flood changed everything. The world Noah knew disappeared. His old life disappeared. The familiar disappeared. When Noah stepped out of the ark, he stepped into a completely different world. Then we followed Jeremiah. Jeremiah spent years warning God's people that Jerusalem would fall. He knew it was coming. He preached about it. He prayed about it. He warned about it. And yet when it finally happened, everything changed. The city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Families were torn apart. The future looked uncertain. Life will never be the same again. And then the disciples, they had followed Jesus for 3 years. They had walked with him, laughed with him, learned from him, and watched him perform miracles. Then this very Jesus suddenly was arrested, crucified, buried, and raised again. Then he ascended into heaven. Everything changed. The world they had known was gone. The future looked completely different. Now, at first glance, these stories seem very different, but they all have one thing in common: life changed. And if we're honest, every one of us knows something about that. Life changes, sometimes gradually, sometimes suddenly, sometimes joyfully, sometimes painfully. Perhaps you've experienced it as well. Through marriage, the arrival of children, a new job, retirement, moving house, changes in health, the loss of a loved one, financial pressures, family circumstances, and we also have unexpected opportunities and unexpected disappointment. The reality is life rarely stands still. And often the most difficult things is not the event itself. It's learning how to live afterwards. How do I live after that diagnosis? How do I live after retirement? How do I live and move on after a bereavement? How do I live after disappointment? And how do I live after my plans have fallen apart time and time again? And how do I live life when it no longer looks the way I expected it to? We have a lot of questions. That is exactly why James is so helpful, because James is intensely practical. He's not interested in just an abstract Christianity. James is interested in the everyday Christianity. He wants to know what difference the gospel makes on a Monday morning. He wants to know how believers live when life becomes difficult. He wants to know how Christians respond when circumstances change. His answer is surprisingly simple. When life changes, in these verses, he says, listen carefully, obey faithfully, and love practically. And these are the three things I want us to consider today. And we'll start first with, when life changes, listen carefully. In verses 19 to 21, he says, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Notice where James begins. He does not begin with action. He begins with listening. And I think that surprised me. Because whenever life changes, our instinct is to usually do something, fix something, control something, solve something, work something out. We want answers. We want certainty. We want explanation. But James says, be quick to listen, not quick to react. Quick to listen. And I think that's incredibly important, because one of the greatest dangers during times of change is that we stop listening to God. We are so consumed by our circumstances that we lose sight of him and our ears grow deaf to his voice. Think about Noah. In Genesis 6, God begins speaking. God warned Noah about what was coming. God instructed Noah about what he was to do. God gave Noah detailed instructions for the ark. Noah's survival depended on listening. Imagine if Noah ignored God. Imagine if Noah said, that doesn't make sense. That sounds impossible. Nobody else believes this. Surely God won't judge the world. Noah would have never built the ark, and his family would have never survived. And the reason Noah survived the crisis was because he listened before he acted. The same is true for Jeremiah. For years, he listened to God's voice while the nation listened to everybody else. The people listened to the politicians, they listened to the false prophets, they listened to the popular opinion. Jeremiah listened to God. And because he listened to God, he understood what was happening and when everybody else was confused. I want everyone here to know one of our greatest blessings during difficult seasons is hearing God's voice clearly. Not because it answers every question, but because it gives us a direction when everything else feels uncertain. And the disciples, they experienced exactly the same thing. After Jesus rose from the dead, he gave them instructions in Acts 1 verse 4. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, Now imagine being one of the disciples. Jesus has risen. The world needs the gospel. The nations need to hear this. Surely now is time for action. Surely now is time to get our Bibles, get dressed, get out there. Yet Jesus says, wait, listen, trust. The disciples have to learn something that every believer eventually learns. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is listen. Not rush ahead, not force your own solution, not panic, but listen. James says everyone should be quick to listen. I wonder this morning, how good are we at listening? I'm not talking about listening to the news or listening to social media. I'm not also talking about listening to our own fears, but I'm talking about listening to God. When life changes, where do we turn to first? To prayer or to panic? To God's promises or our own understanding? Because listening carefully has always been the beginning of faithfulness. And then James says something even more challenging. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. Why? Because change often exposes what really is happening inside our hearts. When life becomes difficult, when frustration rises, so does fear and anxiety. We have questions, and sometimes anger rises up within us. We get angry with our circumstances, angry with people, sometimes even angry with God. And James reminds us, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. In other words, anger really helps us to see clearly. Fear really helps us to hear clearly. And panic really helps us to think clearly. But listening does. Prayer does. Trust does. True dependence on God does. He then continues to say, therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. Notice the word humbly, because listening requires humility. Pride says, I already know it. Humility says, Lord, teach me. Pride says, I'll work it out by myself. Humility says, Lord, I need your wisdom. Pride assumes, humility listens. If there's one thing Noah, Jeremiah, and the disciples could teach us is this. God speaks to his people in times of change. The question is whether we are listening. So before we ask God what is next, before we ask for the future, before we ask how is our future going to unfold, before we ask why our lives change, perhaps the first question should be, am I listening carefully to God? Because when life changes, faithful believers should listen carefully. But as you can see from these verses, listening is not enough. Noah listened, but then he built. Jeremiah listened, but then he preached. The disciple listened, but then they obeyed. Which brings us to the second lesson. When life changes, obey faithfully. Verses 22 to 25 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed when they do so. James now takes us another step further. Listening is essential. Listening is where spiritual growth begins, but listening is not enough. That's why James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, do what it says. These words were amongst the most searched in the entire Testament. Looks into us. He's telling us that it is possible to hear God's word regularly and sometimes still miss its purpose. It is possible to attend church, to read the Bible, to know Christian truths, to understand doctrine, and still yet fail to respond. He said, do not merely listen. In other words, do not stop at hearing. Move to obedience. Move to action. Move to faithfulness. Because God's word was never meant to merely inform us, not just for information. It was given to transform us. And if there's one lesson we repeatedly see in the lives of Noah, Jeremiah, and the disciples, is this: when God speaks, faithful people obey. Think about Noah. The Hebrews account says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Notice the word, not yet seen. Noah had never experienced a flood before. He'd never seen what God was describing. He's never had that ever in his life. He did not possess all the answers, yet he obeyed. And what strikes me about Noah's obedience is how ordinary it must have looked. When I was taught about the flood, I always just imagined the rain falling, the ark floating, the animals entering. I always think about those dramatic moments, you know, when God shuts the door. But for Noah, his obedience was happening long before that. Day after day, week after week, year after year, cutting wood, following God's instructions, detail by detail, trusting God, doing the next thing God called him to do. So I'll submit it to you today. This is what obedience usually looks like. It's really dramatic. It's ordinary faithfulness. Getting up each day, trusting God, doing what he's asked. Continuing when you cannot see the outcome. Noah obeyed before he saw the results. And that is often how God works. We want certainty before obedience. I want to know before I obey. But God calls for obedience before certainty. We see another lesson in Jeremiah. You see, Noah, he obeyed before he saw the flood. And Jeremiah obeyed despite seeing very little success. For decades, Jeremiah preached God's word, and people ignored him, mocked him, rejected him, opposed him. Imagine faithfully preaching for 40 years and seeing very little visible fruit. Many people would have given up by then. Surely I would have. Many people would have become discouraged. Many people would have concluded that obedience was pointless. But Jeremiah continued. Why? Because obedience is not measured by results. Obedience is measured by faithfulness. One of the dangers when life changes is that we begin to evaluate the faithfulness based on outcomes. If God is blessing me, I'll obey. If things work out, I'll trust him. If I can see progress, I'll keep going. But Jeremiah reminds us that faithful believers obey whether they see immediate results or not. So what about us? Some of us may have been praying faithfully for family members. Some of us may have been witnessing faithfully. Some of us may have been serving quietly. Some of us may be carrying out responsibility that nobody notices. And perhaps you're wondering whether any of that matters. I'm going to tell you, based on what Jeremiah is experiencing, and I want to encourage you, your faithfulness matters. God sees us, God knows us, and he honors him, obedience. Then we have the disciples. Perhaps their challenge was a little bit different because Jesus had risen, died, and rose again and ascended. And then he left the instructions to do not leave Jerusalem or wait for the gift that my Father promised. Wait. What a difficult command. Sometimes obedience means action. Sometimes obedience means patience. And patience can be one of the hardest forms of obedience. We live in a culture that celebrates speed. Immediate answers, instant solutions, quick results. Yet the disciples were told to wait, trust, depend. Remain where God has placed you until he moves. There are seasons when obedience means moving forward, and there are seasons when obedience means waiting on the Lord. Both of them require faith. Both requires trust, and both require that we surrender it all to God. This is why James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. The phrase should cause us to pause, because James is not talking about deceiving others. He is talking about deceiving ourselves. It is possible to convince ourselves that we are spiritually healthy because we know the right things. It is possible to make a mistake for knowledge, for obedience, information for transformation, agreement for surrender. Yet God is not simply interested in what we know. He is interested in what we do with what we know. What actions come after we are informed. What actions come after we receive his word. So the true test of the sermon is not, did I enjoy it? The true test is, will I obey it? The true test of Bible reading is, did I learn something new? The true test is, will this change the way I live life? Because the challenge is, James' words, in those four bold words when he says, do what it says. And he gives us that remarkable illustration, doesn't he? He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away, immediately forgets. Imagine, you know, you're getting ready for church this morning. And you notice your hair is a mess. You notice a little bit of dirt on your face. You notice that something needs attention. And then you walk away and do absolutely nothing about it. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? The purpose of the mirror is not merely to observe. The purpose of the mirror is to observe and respond. And that's what James says the word of God is. It works exactly that same way. When we look into it, scripture reveals reality. It shows us who God is. It shows us who we are. It exposes that sin. It highlights area that needs attention. And it points us towards Christ. But if we simply just acknowledge it, what we see, and then just walk away unchanged, we've missed the point. Over the last few weeks, God has been holding up that mirror before us. Through Noah, through Jeremiah, through the disciples, and today through James. Perhaps over these past few weeks, he's shown us areas where we need to grow. Perhaps he's revealed fears that we need to surrender to him. Perhaps he's exposed attitudes that need to change. He's reminded us of responsibilities that needs to be embraced. The question is, what will you do with what you've seen? When life changes, faithful believers do not merely hear God's word. They obey it. And he finishes this section with a promise. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Notice that the blessing, where the blessing is found, not in merely hearing, not in merely understanding, not in agreeing, but the blessing is found in obedience. God blesses those who trust him enough to act. God blesses those who follow him when the future is uncertain. And he definitely blesses those who remain faithful when life changes. Like I said, Noah's experienced it, Jeremiah has experienced it, and the disciples have experienced it. And each and every one of us continue to experience it. Not because obedience is always easy, but because obedience keeps us close to a God who never changes. So when life changes, we listen carefully, then obey faithfully. For hearing God's voice is only the beginning of faithfulness. Faithfulness is found in following it. James is not finished, is he? He's packed quite a lot into these verses. So listening carefully affects our relationship with God. Obeying faithfully affects the direction of our lives. Now James shows us what happens when God's word truly takes root in our hearts. Because when life changes, faithful believers not only listen carefully and obey faithfully, they also love practically. Verses 26 to 27. Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. As James comes to end, brings to an end this section of scripture, he moves from our relationship with God to our relationship with other people. And this is significant because Christianity is never meant to stop with us. It's never simply about what we know. It's never simply about what we believe. It's never simply about what we experience. The Christian life overflows into the life of others. Because when God changes our hearts, people should notice the difference. And one place that James points out is our speech. The words we use, the conversations we have, the way we speak to people, the way we speak about people, because nothing reveals the condition of our hearts quite like our words. Think about it. When life changes and the pressures come, what usually comes out first? Our words. When we're tired, when we're frustrated, when we're disappointed, when we're afraid, our words come out. When we're grieving, when things don't go according to plan, when we stub our toes, our words often reveal what is happening inside us. And James reminds us that maturity is not simply measured by knowledge. It is also measured by self-control, particularly when it comes to our speech. Anyone can speak kindly when life is easy. Anyone can speak positively when everything is going well. But what about when life changes? What about when circumstances become difficult? What about when people disappoint us? And what about when things don't go the way we hope? That is exactly when that Christ-like character begins to show itself. One of the greatest gifts we can give to each other is encouraging speech. Words that build up rather than tear down. Words that heal rather than wound. Words that strengthen rather than discourage. Words that point people towards Christ rather than away from him. How many people have kept going on that we know of because somebody spoke a word of encouragement just at the right moment? How many people have found strength because someone simply took the time to say, "I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. You are not alone. Never underestimate the power of godly words, because life changes for all of us. And sometimes people need encouragement more than they need answers. James doesn't stop at our words. He moves to something deeper. He begins speaking about people who are vulnerable, people who are struggling, people who are carrying burdens, people who need support. In James's day, that was the widows and the orphans. They represented the people who were most vulnerable, those who could not simply solve their own problems, those who needed care and compassion, and the ones who give it had to be God's people. And throughout Scripture, we see the heart of God for such people. God has always cared for the vulnerable. God has always drawn near to the brokenhearted. God has always shown concern for those who are struggling. And if we belong to Him, His concerns should be our concerns. Now think about the people we've looked at over the past few weeks. When Noah stepped out of the ark, he entered into a world filled with loss. Everything changed. When Jeremiah witnessed the fall of Jerusalem, he found himself surrounded by people who were devastated, frightened, and uncertain about the future. When the disciples began their ministry after waiting, they entered into a world filled with brokenness, suffering, sickness, and spiritual need. And what did God call each of them to do? Well, it wasn't to withdraw, not to become consumed with themselves, but to continue serving Him and caring for others. That can be one of the greatest challenges when life changes, because difficult seasons makes us turn inwards. We become focused on our problems, our worries, our fears, our uncertainties, and understandably so. But James reminds us that the genuine Christianity continues looking outward. That's the challenge. Continue noticing people, serving people, loving people. One of the most beautiful things about the Christian faith is that nobody is supposed to walk alone through this life of ours. God designed His people to carry one another's burden, to support one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. In recent days and years, we have experienced something of that reality ourselves. We have seen grief. We have seen loss. We've seen people walking through difficult circumstances. And moments like these reminds us that Christianity is not simply something we believe. It is something that we practice. Sometimes, lovingly practical is what is needed. A phone call, sending a message, making a visit, or sometimes just sitting there silently with someone who is hurting. It means praying with them, helping them in practical ways, or being present. We don't often need to worry about what we have to say, because people don't often need perfect words. They simply need a faithful presence. They need to know that they are not forgotten. They need to know that they are loved. They need to know that someone cares. That is exactly the kind of community that God has called us to be a part of. Be a people that listens carefully, be a people that obeys faithfully, and the people who love practically. Because when life changes, people don't simply need theology. They need the love of Christ demonstrated through His people. And that brings us to the final challenge today. The question is not, do I know God's word? The question is, can people see God's word at work in my life? Can they hear it in my speech? Can they see it in my actions? Can they experience it in the way I treat them? Can they recognize something of Christ in me? Because ultimately, that is what James is driving us towards. A faith that is visible, a faith that serves, a faith that cares, a faith that reflects the life and the heart of Jesus. And when life changes, that kind of faith becomes one of the greatest testimony the world will ever see. What do God's people do when life changes? Because life changed for Noah, it changed for Jeremiah and for the disciples, and it definitely changed for us. Remember, life changes sometimes gradually, sometimes suddenly, sometimes joyfully, sometimes painfully. We do not know the opportunities God may place before us, but we do know this. The God who walked with Noah is still on the throne. The God who sustained Jeremiah is still faithful. The God who guided the disciples is still building his church. And the God who was with them is the God who is with us now. That is our confidence, that life will never change. Sorry, not that life will never change, but that God will never change. And because God never changes, James gives us a pattern for every season of life. Let's see if you remember, when life changes, we listen carefully. Listen to God's voice above every other voice. Listen to his word above your circumstances. When life changes, obey faithfully. Not because you have all the answers. Not because you have or you can see the whole picture. But because God is trustworthy. And when life changes, love practically. Do not withdraw into yourself. Do not become consumed by your own struggles. Look around. Notice the people God has placed around you. Because they will be looking to notice you too. Notice those carrying burdens. Notice those who are grieving. Notice those who are lonely. Notice those who need encouragement. Because genuine Christianity has always looked like people loving one another in the name of Christ. One of the greatest testimonies we can have is not simply what we believe. Sorry. One of the greatest testimonies we can have is not simply what that will we believe, but is how we love in the right way. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And that's the challenge for us this morning. And hopefully we see this in the song that I've chosen, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that when we look at it, we don't leave our hair undone. We don't walk away from the things that you've highlighted to us in our lives. We pray that you help us address each and everything that has been highlighted in our lives. Help us, Lord, to listen to you, obey faithfully, and to love those that you've placed in our lives. You love those that we come in contact with. Lord, we ask that your word does not just inform us, but transforms us. Make us that channel of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.